News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. On Mobile Mornings, we talked about my buddy Chasen Walker at Chasen Homes over in Old Town Daphne. And what a job he has done for a number of decades, actually 30 years of experience as a real estate broker, 20 years as a licensed home builder. He's built some of the more spectacular homes on the Eastern Shore. So if you need to, if you're looking for property, looking to sell some property, but he's the guy. Also, if you are living on the waterfront and want to maximize that for your pleasure, he can do the work for you. He can maintain the HVAC and generators and boat lifts, carpentry, painting, electrical work, plumbing, roofing, whatever it takes. He will put together a plan for you, and he gets all the contractors. You don't have to worry about any of that. Things just get done, and that's it. One point of contact for all the repairs. No more juggling contractors on your end. And, of course, you just have to, consolidated billing. You just pay Chasen and his crew, and you're done with it. So something to consider if you are a waterfront property owner. Chasen Walker wants to make that something that you can enjoy to the utmost with his waterfront property care services. Find out more about it, and you can do that by calling Chasen Homes, 251-379-4444. Also, all that information about everything he does real estate-wise is at chasenhomes.com.
808 FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for getting your week started with us on Mobile Mornings. 251-343-0106. That is the text line if you want to hop on and turn up your voice or let us know of any traffic information that everyone else listening needs to be aware of. Of course, the big story internationally continues to be the war in the Middle East. Israel now putting ground forces in Lebanon, but the Strait of Hormuz seems to be getting most of the attention still. And yesterday, President Trump said Iran's military has been, quote, decimated, claiming the U.S. has wiped out the country's air defenses and severely weakened its forces. They're saying this morning that I believe Israel took out the aircraft once used by Iran's former Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The Israeli Air Force conducted a precise strike and dismantled the aircraft overnight at Mehrabad Airport in Tehran, according to the IDF. So that was kind of like the Air Force One for the Ayatollah. Maybe we could come up with a name for it on the text line, the Ayatollah Force One. I don't know where we would go with that, but they said it was taken out kind of just like so many other installations in Iran. Asked whether he was ready to officially declare victory, Trump said he was not declaring it over yet, but argued the damage to Tehran's military has been significant. Quote, there's no reason to, Trump told reporters aboard Air Force One. I think I would just say they're decimated. If we left right now, it would take them 10 years and more to rebuild, but I'm still not declaring it over. Trump said the U.S. operations have taken out Iran's air force and air defense systems and have left the country with no air defense whatsoever. He added the U.S. and Israel have similar objectives regarding Iran and that the two countries' militaries are very well coordinated. But it almost seems like that's a separate conversation from the one we're having about the Strait of Hormuz and the ability for those tanker ships to make it through there with mm-hmm. the oil, which is causing all kinds of economic turmoil across the world right now.
Yep, that's right, across the world. And so, and Trump, there was a lot of things said over the weekend, and he does kind of shoot off the cuff from time to time.
No, sitting not Trump.
With the reporters, sometimes on Air Force One or waiting to board it.
Yeah, in front of the very loud Marine One.
Yes, so exactly. Number of things that he said over the weekend included that he said Iran, in behind the scenes, they were talking ceasefire. Now, Iran has come out and said that's not true, mm-hmm. but he said that that was one of his quotes to NBC over the weekend, that Iran wanted a ceasefire. Also, he was questioning whether the new Supreme Leader is alive at all.
Which we have an outstanding report from the New York Post we'll get into here in just a minute about the new Supreme Leader. But there have been questions about whether he's in a coma, whether he's alive at all, as Trump referenced. And there were even reports that he was shuttled out of Iran and into Moscow to undergo emergency surgery just to keep him alive. That came from a newspaper out of Kuwait, Al Jazeera, but that has not been confirmed.
The closest we've seen of him is a cardboard cutout like you're at, back in the day at Blockbuster Video. There's Will Ferrell. No, that's not him. So that's as close as we've come to seeing him. Also, you know, his father did not want a succession plan where one of his kids became that's not what he wanted. And also there was a report again, you know, that his father did not see him as intelligent enough for the job.
Yeah. So, and we were talking about this last week or maybe the week prior. Initial reports were that his father, Ali Khamenei, didn't want to pass the torch down because he didn't want it to be like a king, right?
Yeah,
he didn't want it to be genetic, the leader of Iran.
Right.
And the more that comes out, it seems there may have been some other reasons why he did not want his son to lead, and maybe he just didn't feel he was up to it. Or you look at this New York Post article, which was published an hour ago. Prepare yourself, okay?
I'm prepared.
President Trump was stunned to learn last week. And remember, there's all kinds of propaganda flying around out there. It's war, right? So take everything with a grain of salt. President Trump was stunned to learn last week that U.S. intelligence indicates new Iranian Supreme Leader Mojtaba Khamenei may be gay, and that his father, the late Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, feared his suitability to rule the Islamic Republic for that reason. This is according to the New York Post. They said Trump couldn't contain his surprise and laughed aloud when he was briefed on the intel, according to sources. Others in the room also found it, quote, hilarious and joined the president's reaction, while one senior intelligence official, quote, has not stopped laughing about it for days, said one person familiar with the briefing. This is from the New York Post. The shocking claim was described to the Post by two intelligence community officials and a third person close to the White House. All three sources say the implausible-sounding allegation is viewed as credible by U.S. spy agencies rather than false information intended to undermine Khamenei. Two of the sources said intelligence indicated Mojtaba, who earned the nickname, quote, the power behind the robes, while serving as his aging dad's gatekeeper, has had a long-term sexual relationship with his childhood tutor. The third source said the intelligence indicated the affair was with a person who formerly worked for the Khamenei family. Mojtaba is believed to have been wounded in the same airstrike that killed his father and many other members of his family. And again, according to the New York Post sources, has made, quote, aggressive sexual overtures to men caring for him, possibly while under the influence of heavy medication. Where do they get this stuff? I guess from the intelligence sources. They said U.S. spy agencies do not have photographic evidence of Mojtaba Khamenei's alleged sexual attraction to men, but the sources insisted the tip is solid, with one saying it was, quote, derived from one of the most protected sources that the government has. So you could see if that were true, if it is true, how that could create some issues in a country like Iran.
Yeah.
Having a supreme leader who's a homosexual.
Yeah.
And in America, no problem with that, right? But in Iran, you might be dealing with a bit of a different situation.
Well, yeah. And so how in the world would this have been going on for this amount of time? I guess it was someone that worked with the family, so the thought was it was all going to be kept quiet or in a jar somewhere.
No idea.
It's the New York Post, which is a conservative-leaning publication. What happens? Does the New York Times pick this up? Does NBC run with this? What happens now?
I'm sure they will, and they may even claim it's not true. To me, this sounds like, and whether it's true or not, this time of, like, in this process of him being named the new leader, is he alive, is he not? Seems like a good time to put out stuff like this.
Yeah, that's
especially when he can't respond.
Exactly. I mean, this may root him out. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's an odd twist that I was not expecting to see this morning.
It's a completely odd twist. A little more along what you would expect. Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press, Secretary of Energy Chris Wright, he predicted the military conflict in Iran would be maybe last a few more weeks. This is some of what Wright had to say yesterday with Kristen Welker.
Yeah, after the conflict is over, you'll start to see prices come back down. But the Iran immediately going to impede flow through the Straits of Hormuz, launching attacks at all of their neighbors, even those completely uninvolved in this conflict, just illustrates why it's so important to defang this regime. It's been the greatest supporter of terrorism in the world. The greatest killer of American soldiers over the last 20 years has been Iran, and we haven't fought a conflict against them until this. It's just this president did not want to kick this can down the road to the next administration. The world simply can't see a nuclear-armed Iran. And so I'm proud of his actions, but yes, it is a short-term disruption in the flow of energy. Americans are feeling it right now. Americans will feel it for a few more weeks. But at the end, we will have removed the greatest risk to global energy supplies. We'll go to a world more abundant in energy, more affordable in energy, and less risky for American soldiers and commerce in the Middle East.
You say a few more weeks. Are you suggesting this war could be over, will be over in a few more weeks?
I think that's the likely time frame, yes.
There's Chris Wright. Mm. Again, over the weekend, that bombing of the island of Kerch, whatever.
With all the oil infrastructure on it.
Which they did not attack the oil infrastructure. They took out the military assets.
They were almost portraying that as a pull pin in case of emergency kind of attack. And then once it went down, Trump said they were able to leave a lot of it intact, even though they really hammered that island.
Yeah, so they've got to be tactful, obviously, as they strike now, because you could ruin the country completely. I think we've got the levers to do that, but that would leave a humanitarian crisis in place with us to be completely blamed.
Yeah, and, you know, countries are responding after Trump reached out to them about helping open the Strait of Hormuz, and Prime Minister of the UK, Keir Starmer, seems to be finally getting off the sidelines. He said they're working with allies to help open that strait. I thought Germany's response was interesting.
I'll tell you what, no thank you. Yeah. We're not open for business. We're helping in any way.
Yeah, they said this isn't NATO's war. Quote, this war has nothing to do with NATO. It is not NATO's war. The comment made by a spokesperson for Chancellor Friedrich Merz came after Trump made that thinly veiled threat toward the NATO alliance, saying it could face a very bad future. The Germans reiterated it would not participate in any activity in the Strait of Hormuz. Quote, participation has not been considered before this war and is not being considered now. So a couple different responses to Trump's pleas, one from the UK and then the opposite kind of response from Germany there. Your thoughts on all this? And I thought what Jeff Poor, a big part of his conversation during his show Friday, very interesting as we head towards these midterms. Jeff said it seems like a lot of people are just tuning the war out.
Yep.
You know, at a certain point, Americans just start paying attention to other things and stop paying attention to the war.
Almost, right? You could do that intentionally, right? Mm-hmm. You could say, if it's about the war, I'm wore out about it. I'm worn down. But that doesn't mean you're not going to notice the prices in oil and fuel.
Yeah, and saw the average in Mobile, according to Gas Buddy, and I know Leo was trying to take me to task on this earlier. According to Gas Buddy, the average price for a gallon of gas in Mobile is right at $3.49 this morning. Now, are there some outliers that's driving that average price up? I'm sure, just as there are some lower prices around too. But it's saying as of right now, $3.49, the average price for a gallon of fuel, that's gasoline. Now, the diesel, that's a completely different story. Mm-hmm. Many of you, well, I'd love to know, actually, how many, what are y'all paying for diesel here in Mobile and Baldwin counties right now? I haven't been brave enough to look at that side of the sign. I've just been paying attention to the unleaded on the other side, but I understand it's incredibly high right now.
Last week, we were, the median average was about $3.35, I think you've reported, and we saw prices as high as $3.49. Now, the average is at $3.49.
Yeah, and that was quite the rise in those prices. How long ago were we looking at $2.90, somewhere around there, for a gallon of gas?
Not that long ago.
It wasn't.
Paul Lewis on the text line says Yasser Arafat was gay. Now, they're just tumbling out of the closet now. Of course, long gone, but now reportedly Arafat was gay.
Yeah, many of you noting the irony if Iran's new leader is gay. And we have a lot more text to get to as well. 251-343-0106.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, text line 251-343-0106. We don't have a call screener today, but if you were to call, maybe we'd catch it and allow you a chance to talk with us on the air.
A lot of texts, though.
Yeah, that's the easy way to do it.
And Wally saying, giving me some diesel prices. He says I was paying $3.50 a month ago. Now at these couple stations, he's looking at $4.89 a gallon. Fire Dog, on the report from the New York Post that Ali Khamenei, the former supreme leader of Iran, that his son, who's been chosen as the new supreme leader, but we don't know if he's alive or not, is report coming out from the New York Post, according to Central Intelligence.
We don't know if he's gay or not.
Now we don't know if he's gay. And they said that caused quite the reaction from the Trump administration and military brass that were there for that hearing.
You know how...
That briefing, I should say.
And how so Iran is responding to whatever Trump says. Like Trump says, they want peace, they want a ceasefire. No, we don't. How do they react to this news? I mean, will there be
an uprising,
visceral reaction from the foreign minister? You know, will he address it at all?
Oh, I don't know. No idea. I mean, it seems like the perfect bit of propaganda, but
it does.
I don't know. But Fire Dog, as he points out, did I read Fire Dog's considering they toss gay people off of 10-story buildings in Iran? That would be interesting. Doesn't have Meta. This is good. Says this just in. Iran has hired Jimmy Sexton in the search for a new supreme leader. Gus Malzahn is rumored to be a leading candidate for the position. Tying in some SEC there. SEC fiction. Larry from Daphne says, I doubt that Washington Post story very much. He would have ended up being beheaded or thrown off a building by now. Yeah, that was the New York Post who said intelligence sources were telling them of that news.
So when did Trump learn that? When did he laugh out loud when he heard that?
They said
like Friday or something like that.
Let's see. They told him, well, I don't know the exact date that they told him, but the report from the New York Post came out this morning. They just said the president was stunned to learn.
He was briefed
last week. Yeah, they said last week he was briefed on this.
Yeah.
There's this too, though, and you know, the FCC and specifically the chairman of the SEC, Brendan Carr, has been in the news a lot for an FCC chairman.
You don't
see it that often. Well, he's getting he responded to something the president said about war coverage by the national media, and then the president has since responded to what Carr said. Trump said he was thrilled by the FCC chairman's threat to revoke the licenses of broadcasters who peddle hoaxes and distortions, in Carr's words, hoaxes and distortions related to the Iran war. Trump ripped outlets that have been distributing AI-generated content created by the Tehran regime, which he labeled as the master of media manipulation and public relations. He said Iran uses AI as a disinformation weapon to convey an impression of military might when it has actually been sustaining heavy losses. One of the things Trump was so upset about, he said they showed phony kamikaze boats shooting at various ships at sea, which looks wonderful and powerful and vicious, but these boats don't even exist. They're talking about some damage that American planes, jets, took from an attack, and the news media blew it completely out of distortion,
Trump
said.
They want to nip this a little bit. I mean, they're playing into Iran's hand if they're being, that inaccurate about all this.
But it's also a dang fine line for First Amendment suppression. Carr has warned outlets running what he described as these hoaxes and distortions that they must change course before their licenses are up for renewal, which happens every 8 years. Carr wrote, the law is clear. Broadcasters must operate in the public interest, and they will lose their licenses if they do not.
Got to be accountable. It's 8:30, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Here's some news.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
834 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Big weather change in the mix. Going to get really cold here these next couple of nights. But by the weekend, we're going to be in the 80s and sunny. So that's spring for you on the Gulf Coast. If you want a nice ride here on the Gulf Coast, there's one place to go, and that's McConnell Automotive, where we head right now to talk to Louie Ratta. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Let folks know if they come to McConnell today what they can expect. What are the hot vehicles right now?
We'll have those vehicles turned on, warm, ready to go, because it's going to be cold here shortly. But, yeah, we got a great selection out front, and got some 15-passenger vans. I don't know if anybody needs those, but we've got a couple of them here in stock. We got some great deals on pre-owned and new cars, and just come on by and see us. Stay out of this wind.
Yeah, and you guys also, you know, speaking of bad weather, usually that's when you see accidents, and for anyone who has gotten their vehicle a little dinged up, the body shop there at McConnell does a great job.
Oh, they do a great job. In fact, I've got a customer here right now. We're going back to the body shop right now, actually, to put his car in the body shop and get him a loaner car.
It's that easy.
So and,
you guys, you make it really easy on the customer. And if they want to buy something and you don't have it on the lot, you can go out and find it for them.
That's right. We're on the website every day just buying stuff from Orlando and Texas. I mean, we've got it going on here. And don't forget, if you want to sell your car, just give us a call, 251-476-4141. Give us a little description, the VIN and the miles, and we'll try to give you a price right over the telephone.
All right. Appreciate it, Louie. Have a great week.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
You're talking about FCC chairman who has been in the news more than we've heard from FCC chairmen in the past, for sure. Talking about correcting their course, those in the media that are running with hoaxes and everything like that. I'm not even going to say what it was that I saw. I was just scrolling for news about the bombing of the island.
Korg. Or whatever it's called.
Karg Island. And that's what I was looking for. And a number of stories came up in the Google search, and one of the headlines was horrifying. So I clicked on that story, or did I? But anyway, it had to do with Israel. They're having all that trouble in Lebanon with
ground operation began today, Hezbollah.
That, right. Yeah. So the ground operation, talking about them bombing over there and what it had done to and it was like, this would be an awful headline. I kept looking for more information about the island attack. Mm-hmm. When I went back later, maybe an hour later, just on my phone, like, no, let me find out more about that Israel airstrike that was so devastating. Gone.
Ah.
Never saw it again. And the headline was absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, so there was a report that came up, and then it was gone when you went back to check in
an
hour.
I don't even want to repeat what it said, but it would be one of those headlines where you're like, that's bad on Israel for sure.
And we've seen in the Russia-Ukraine war, and the one that gets a lot of people tripped up, it's not even AI, but video game scenes from war movies that have really tricked a lot of people into thinking, you know, they're Russian jets being shot down, which have been. That's happened. But the AI and the mis or disinformation nowadays in this modern warfare is absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. And with this Iran war, I mean, the one that got me most recently was that cardboard cutout thing, because it happens so quickly that by the time that fake information gets out there, and then there's memes that are made about it, and then memes about those memes, you end up about five memes deep before you realize that first story wasn't true at all. So I thought that the cardboard cutout thing of the new leader was real, because there had been more memes and videos that came out, even an obviously fake one where the president was giving Laura Ingraham a tour of the Oval Office, which did happen a few years or maybe last year once he came back in. But in this video, they had replaced something he was showing her with the cardboard cutout of the new Supreme Leader. Turns out, I don't think there ever even was a cardboard cutout of him, that was a fake AI video.
Okay,
too.
I didn't know that. I thought at one point there was. Well,
so much of that
going on.
It was
reported as if that was all we've seen was
with
that.
The cardboard. Well, yeah. I know we've seen his picture, but I don't think they broke out the cardboard. Or at least that's what I've been trying to dive into here. But what I'm saying is,
it's confusing.
The disinformation and the propaganda is at just an entirely new level here.
I'd agree.
And it's really difficult. But it is on the media, right? It comes down to them making sure what they're reporting is accurate before they come out and say that.
Including me.
Including us, yes, too. But when Brendan Carr is going after the ABCs and CBSs and Fox News, I mean, they have plenty more resources to the point where putting out false information just to be first, they have to go back to doing journalism the right way at some point. But should the FCC chairman be threatening to revoke their licenses if they don't go about it a different way? I don't know. Well, it's a pretty slippery slope.
Yeah, there's reporting false information because you've been duped into it, or there's running with a hoax when you know it's a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two different violations, I would think, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I think he's accusing them of both. It affects public opinion.
It really does. It affects
the politics of the nation.
There's that, too. Michael says the new Iranian leader is reportedly in a Russian hospital currently and going to be recovering there as well from his injuries. Yeah, we've been talking about that report all morning, and they're saying it has not been confirmed. That came from a Kuwaiti newspaper saying that they snuck the new supreme leader out of Iran and into Moscow for emergency surgery on his injuries. But yeah, they have not confirmed that. Texter here says, hey, fellas, at approximately 10:07 p.m. on Saturday night, a large blast explosion that rocked houses was reported by my family in Seminole and all across Baldwin County. BC sheriffs were searching the area. Nothing was ever spoken of on the news. That's from Angry Patriot. Yeah, I have not seen that report either, Angry Patriot, but maybe more will come in as we get along further in the day. Michael texting in also, he says, Dan, I'm guessing you're talking about the verified and true report that Israelis killed two parents and their kids in front of a young child. Is that the report you saw?
No, the numbers were larger.
Okay.
I don't even want to say the details because I think the story, but it was out there.
It was revoked, it sounds like, an hour later,
I couldn't find it at all.
Texter here says, if Trump says it's a lie, if his lips are moving, he's lying. And a lot of emojis used in that text. Appreciate that. Another texter, I love the middle school insults, the ultimate Trump card. Ha ha. Back to gas prices and diesel prices. 251-343-0106. You know, also a big story in our state as we head into week two of the Ibrahim Yazid trial regarding Anaya Blanchard. And it's so difficult to fathom that it's been, 7 years since Blanchard was murdered. And he's just now going to trial. But they had testimony that continued Friday. And this was all about DNA last week. A fingerprint analysis expert told the court investigators found no prints of value on key evidence. Just a day after forensic testimony revealed Yazid's DNA had not been identified on items tied to the case. So they're heading into week two now. And you would think this would have been a slam dunk, right? I mean, there's been a law named after this case. And I don't know. It sounds like there's a chance Yazid could eventually get off. We'll try to keep you updated on that throughout the week as they head into week two of this Anaya Blanchard trial. Coming up, though, Brian Comer from Tobias & Comer Law joins us for Law 251 on Mobile Mornings. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And a pleasure, again, to welcome Brian Comer from Tobias & Comer Law in our studios here at FM Talk. And this is, of course, Law 251. We have it every month. And back in studio. Had a great time these last couple months coming to visit you down on Dolphin Street at your office. So that was just great. You guys have a beautiful place there. It was really cool to come see where you work day in and day out.
Yeah, thanks. We enjoyed having you, obviously. And it is a pretty building, but also good to be back here in the studio.
Yeah, we have the microphones here. A little easier to saddle up. But yeah, that was great. And if anyone missed that, by the way, it was kind of a special, really, where we took you through the whole process from the first call to Tobias & Comer all the way through the end of your time in court. So that was really good. But go back and listen. It's at fmtalk1065.com and tobiascomerlaw.com. Well, welcome back in. I know we have plenty more to discuss as we do every month. And something that I know you've been thinking about, and we've talked about it here, are delivery trucks. I mean, they're ubiquitous at this point. They're everywhere.
Yep.
And now, even beyond that, it's almost like there aren't enough delivery trucks to deliver. We see people in their own personal vehicles doing the Uber Eats and the, they have all these different, what's the other one? Grubhub.
Right.
So the trucks are still out there, though, and they're different than the 18-wheelers. I want to kind of discuss, what that landscape is now like out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you hit it on the head. I mean, with all the, with all these different services that have popped up, there are different kinds of vehicles. Sometimes, we've talked about a lot with commercial motor vehicles, you know, typically people in 18-wheelers have commercial driver's licenses. There's additional schooling that goes in with that. And folks who are in the bigger box trucks also have to have a CDL. Well, sometimes you get, like you mentioned, if somebody's on a contract basis and driving for, you know, whichever the delivery companies they drive for, they might not be as skilled or as experienced. And then, you know, one thing, you know, and I always like to think of it too from like both sides of the spectrum, you know, if somebody is driving for one of those services, they really need to make sure that they, and they're in a personal car, they want to make sure that their insurance is straightened out and is alerted to that, because there's typically exclusions for that cover or for coverage if they are driving like that. And that's true also for Uber or for, you know, Grubhub or those services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder about that all the time. The folks who make a living driving, mm-hmm. how many more opportunities, and I say that like it's a positive thing, but the chances of something bad happening obviously go up the longer you're on the road every single day. So I've right. wondered about that, but these delivery trucks, you know, we think of 18-wheelers on the interstate, high speed, switching lanes. With delivery trucks, it's really a different scenario. I mean, it's often neighborhoods and just driving around town. What kinds of situations tend to lead to accidents with these delivery trucks?
Yeah, so I mean, you make a really good point there, and I actually saw this just today before we came down here on Dauphin Street. One of the delivery companies stopped right there in front of our office, and you know, and unlike say a bus stop where you know there's, you know, you've got signs that say, okay, this is where that is going to happen. It's very unpredictable on the road, and you know we always have to be mindful, and we talk about defensive driving and all that kind of stuff, but the rear end collision is still one of the highest or most frequent types of crashes. But then there's also the pulling out, you know, if it's a blind curve or maybe somebody didn't look twice or something, pulling out in front of traffic.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, times like we see around here all the time, really foggy mornings, foggy right. evenings, that can cause some issues too.
Yeah.
When you come up on a vehicle, you're not used to being there. And a lot of these drivers, we've also talked about these delivery windows, you know, mm-hmm. they're under a lot of pressure sometimes to get out and get those packages to those homes. Does that pressure sometimes contribute to risky driving?
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, in fact, that was kind of a big deal about one of the pizza delivery places when we were growing up. You yeah. know, it's 30 minutes or less or your pizza's free. Same kind of thing here. You know, what they found, they had to get rid of that I think we've talked about this. They had to get rid of that program because it was increasing accidents because they were trying to beat the clock. Well, so you also have that same kind of deal here with, you know, AI and technology. Everything's great, right? Except now we know just kind of what a window we're talking about for deliveries. And so you say, okay, well, you've got 38 seconds to make this delivery from the time you hit park or whatever the number is. It's all measured out into metrics and it's all being recorded. And so the drivers have this constant push to get the packages out. And I mean, I've heard some horror stories about how they don't even have time to, you know, stop for a restroom break or something like that because it's so regimented on the clock. And just like we've talked about before, when people have that additional pressure and you're in a bigger vehicle, that is a recipe for disaster in terms of wrecks.
I had been wondering, you know, what happened to the 30 minutes or less.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's, we'll have to do a deep dive and have you come back on sometime.
With some deep dish maybe, but yes.
Deep dive with the deep dish.
That's right.
Talking with Brian Comer from Tobias and Comer Law and another edition of Law 251 here. So if someone is involved in an accident with a delivery truck, figuring out who's at fault, figuring out who's responsible, that's maybe not as easy always as people think, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you see, you know, a nationally branded vehicle, you know, that's pretty easy and, you know, whatever the company is. The Department of Transportation, the U.S. Department of Transportation regulates those kind of over-the-road trucks. And so where you'll see, if you look at the door, it'll say who's the owner of the vehicle, what's the DOT number, that sort of thing. You get into a little bit different scenario, though, when you have these contractors, and we really see this a lot more at the holidays where, you know, say a particular delivery service doesn't have enough vehicles to meet the demand because people are buying so much stuff. And so, you know, that's part of the deal that we then have to unwind when we get a case like this and say, okay, well, is the person driving for someone else? There are certain tests that apply that even though they're an independent contractor, okay, so, you know, John, who's driving his van or whatever for this company, the company may still nonetheless have liability. And so that's part of our investigative process is figuring out, okay, who is it that's ultimately calling the shots here? Where is it that we need to look? And you know, that's what we do.
You know, there's so much data now. I mean, all it takes is for you to hop into a vehicle that was made after, I'll just say 2024.
Sure.
And it's apparent how much new tech is in there. Mm-hmm. And that's before you even get under the hood or in the black box that these car makers are able to see. So you're able to get a peek at that. I mean, you're able to see the information that these vehicles pick up when you're looking into a case that's been brought to you. Has that made it easier for you and the attorneys at Tobias and Comer Law, all of this information that you're able to gather when there's an accident like this, or has it made things harder in a way?
Well, I mean, you know, it makes things scarier. I can say that because you see these data points and we've had some cases and seen other cases that it's scary when you see what people are actually doing behind the wheel sometimes. Mm. And we talk about, you know, best practices and that sort of thing. But they are tracking all of these metrics. And we're not just talking speed. It's now, are their eyes diverted off the road?
Oh, wow.
I mean, the sensors and all that they're using register all kinds of things. But then the companies are tracking that in real time. And so obviously, you know, what we always want to make sure we do is get to the truth and find out, okay, what is it that happens? And we've talked about this a lot. You know, people have come to us and say, well, I was in a crash or I had this thing happen to me. Well, just because that happened doesn't mean necessarily it's a case. And so that's why we do the investigation. What the data does is it gives us a clear picture of, okay, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about this, that, you know, some of the least reliable information from a scene is eyewitness testimony. And somebody mm-hmm. thinks, oh, well, I had the green light, or somebody says, oh, I remember it this way. Well, that might not be, you know, how it went down. And that's what the data shows. And it's crazy. I mean, you know, we've got a case right now where there was a wreck on the interstate and the truck had a camera recording the entire thing as it happened, a dash cam.
Wow.
And you can see the entire crash happen and it lays out exactly what happened.
That is something else. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of, you know, apps out there where parents can keep tabs on their children's driving. So if by the time mine are driving age, and by then I'm sure, you know, the auto driving will have taken over the world. But if I can get that data on how often they're looking at the road, that would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure I wouldn't want my parents to see mine when I was 16, you know.
At all.
You're looking at the dash an awful lot. What were you, changing music? Maybe.
sort of, yeah.
But that information that's out there now is crazy. And you've talked about how you guys have utilized that at Tobias and Comer Law. What about, I mean, for all of us that are out there every day sharing the road with these delivery truck drivers, what are some things you think people should just keep in mind on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that we talk about, you know, have patience, you know, treat other people like you want to be treated and to be defensive, you know, drive defensively. You want to make sure that you're anticipating because, you know, the other person is under such a hurry or is in such a hurry, you know, maybe they just missed you. You know, mm-hmm. and that doesn't excuse the conduct. That doesn't excuse what then happens. But thinking of that and think, okay, is this truck going to see me? Are they going to see me? And just take a breath, take it a little slower and let it pass.
I love that. And I try to abide by that. So, you know, you see these delivery truck drivers out there, especially certain times of the year when it's 105 degrees or the other end of the spectrum when it's 28, we've seen too.
Right.
You go, man, they're out there day in and day out. Some pretty dangerous spots. I'm going to give them a little room while I'm working through this neighborhood.
And it's all about having grace, right?
Yeah.
I mean, treat other people like you want to be treated. And they do an essential job for us. And Lord knows we keep them in business at my house. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we're extending that grace. But then, you know, that's all we can do is to take care of ourselves.
All right. So if someone is involved in an accident that's involving a delivery truck, what's the process? What do you recommend they do?
Yeah. So, you know, always, you know, obviously, stop. You'd be surprised at the people who don't think to stop. If you've been in a crash, you have to stop. You can't flee the scene of an accident. But get the other driver's information, cooperate with the police. And then, you know, after everything is done, you know, that's we talk about they do need to get to us as soon as they can so that we can collect evidence and make sure that the scene's preserved and things like that and collect that data. And then also to put the companies on notice to say, hey, you know, you do have this data. Don't get rid of it. Yeah. Okay. And we send letters called spoliation letters where we say that. And so do that. And then, you know, the main thing is to take care of yourself and do what your doctors are telling you to do.
All right. Really, really good stuff again, Brian, and we appreciate it. And that phone number, it's a free consultation. Folks can call it 24/7. And the number is 251-432-5001. But every podcast episode we do, including this one, goes to the website, TobiasComerLaw.com. But there's so much more beyond that that's on the website with great reference guides and news stories. And then, of course, all the contact and about us information about you guys there at Tobias & Comer. Really appreciate your time coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me, Dalton.
All right. That's Brian Comer with Tobias & Comer Law and another edition of Law 251 right here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. He's on the way, and more Mobile Mornings tomorrow morning at 6. We'll be back.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.